He pummels his block. He's in. Touchdown, North Dakota. Touchdown, Kaminsky. His second today. Kaminsky rolling out, and he throws to the corner. He's got a man pulled in. Touchdown, Tang Tang. Yes, sir. Touchdown, North Dakota. How about that?
UND Football 360.
Going deep. They've got something they like. It is caught deep downfield. B.J. Fleming, touchdown, North Dakota. Touchdown, North Dakota. 82-yard catch and run, and UND strikes first.
Analysis, commentary, news, and a look ahead. It's all things UND football. This is the UND Football 360 Podcast.
Touchdown, North Dakota!
With your host, Kelly Howe, and Tank McNamara.
Another week, another win. They're flying the W at Memorial. Things are good at the UND Football Program. Tank McNamara, Kelly Howe here with you. And Kelly, it just felt like we were in cruise control again for another week.
It did.
It feels good, doesn't it?
Feels great, especially doing this show with our job. It feels outstanding. But yeah, over the 14 years, we've been through a lot, you know, a lot of ups and downs covering this program. And last week, once again, another unpredictable performance. Nobody thought that. I mean,
my 28-14 was kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, no, yeah, you were.
I was telling you it was going to be that kind of a game. I'm on to something.
Yeah,
here.
They put up so many points this year that, you know, I thought, okay, they're back at home. They're going to put up a lot of points, and they just couldn't get Southern Illinois. I mean, I know we're going to jump into it here, but I don't think many people could have predicted the domination in that game. But I know you can tell by social media that the fan base is absolutely gobbling this up right now, because we've been waiting for a consistent, you know, week to week dominant type team. And sure, that, you know, things can change. It, granted, we're only halfway through, or a little over halfway through, but this is a different looking outfit, no doubt about it.
If you follow our Twitter page, which is a great page, and we probably should let people behind the curtain a little bit, over the summer I graduated after year one into year two, and I got the keys to the Twitter page, the X page. So I've actually been posting on there a little bit, but always good football information. But are you getting into the jewelry business? I forgot to ask you about this. We didn't talk about that. What was the watch that you posted there the other last week?
Everyone who knows me knows I'm a big jewelry guy. Tank, right?
The
yeah.
Bling.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah,
you're going to get a grill next week? Yeah.
But no, I've, you know, as you get older, you see the way that successful people are, and the way they dress, and they're out and about, and they're, you know, and I've kind of looked at them like, guys, good look. You know, that's a good look right there. Well, watches are very popular right now. I'm telling you, know, guys always have them on, business guys are wearing them, that type of thing. And so I've been looking around. Well, sure enough, Burnt Creek Watch Company out of North Dakota reaches out to us. Casey out in Bismarck, he reaches out and says, hey, you know, I got a new startup. We got field watches, and we want to promote it a little bit. What can we do? Can we be part of your show? Can we partner with you? And I'm sure, you know, great. Yeah, we love to help. We've done it for years. Whoever is small businesses around town, because that's kind of what we are in a way. We're a small business, right? And so, yeah, Burnt Creek Watch Company, we put the tweet out on last week, and with their link and a picture, kind of what they look like. Field watches is their specialty. You got four or five different variations, but really cool. Yeah, just really cool, classy-looking watches. And, yeah, I'm going to get myself one of those. It'll be here soon, and I'm going to start wearing that because they do a good job. And like I said, it's North Dakota-based. And right out of Bismarck there, Burnt Creek, you know, is named after anyone who knows Bismarck, just north of Bismarck is Burnt Creek along the river up there. So yeah, it's just a really kind of a fun idea, you know, a little second business he started. And I'm glad we can help him out.
Isn't that where you used to throw cake parties in high school?
Actually, it's funny you bring that up, because we had a buddy that lived right there. Yeah, and right along, his dad lived along the river right there, just north.
It just seems like, hey, we're going out to Burnt Creek for a fire this weekend. Yep, yeah.
I'm very familiar with the Burnt Creek
about 9 o'clock,
but, yeah. Oh, yeah, but it's, Yeah, it's actually a beautiful part of Bismarck down there in the lowland on the north side across from the Heskett plant. But yeah, it's a great, great company. But yeah, I'm glad he reached out because he's a big UND fan and stuff. So those are the people we like to partner up with. It just makes it more fun.
Hey, we also like to partner up with athletes, and we're kind of helping out on the NIL. I think Lance will be okay if I say this, but those little baby shirts we did this summer for Lance Rucker, they're coming back, and there's more things to buy now. You can get like a tumbler. You can get a nice Sherpa blanket.
What site?
Hoodies.
What site are those going to be on?
Those are going to be at... what is our website? UND.
Yeah. UND football 360.
360.com. Yep. I do all the back end work, so I never go to
Tank
our
does
site.
It all with tanklogo.com.
Yeah.
That's it's all through there.
Yeah. But, yep, Tank Logo. So I am in a promotional product corporate apparel business, but talked with Lance last week, and he's all in, and the new site is going to be awesome. We can offer more items and then be looking for maybe number 11. We'll just say that. Oh. Yeah. Maybe
11?
Some.
11.
Ooh, you know.
Is he having a good year?
He's number 11 in your programs, number one in your heart, right? Ooh. No. Had a conversation with Jerry, and hopefully we're working on a deal to get some apparel out there for our quarterback, who's 18 touchdowns, one interception, which. He's
playing well.
Really, the interception, his arm got hit, right?
Yeah, his arm got hit. He didn't even have a chance on that one. So
yeah, things are rolling. So, and then
putting them in good positions, Tank. Well, that's the key.
Yeah, yep. And let's also mention. I'm just waiting for that final design to come back, and we might have some 360 JYD
there
merchandise.
We go. People, there
to
we
throw
go. See, that's what. We're going to come up with some new, the JYD is catching on. You see Coach Schmidt wearing his version of it on the sideline. Well, we're going to have our versions of it. And like the fun thing about this is it's all going to be on a website. It's all going to be on demand, ready to order.
Ships right to your house within 10 days. You'll have it.
Perfect.
And so, we'll have that on our website. We'll be promoting that a lot with the athletes. They're very appreciative. That's the world we live in. It's amazing having these conversations with these athletes now going, wow, 15 years ago, we could get in big, big trouble for what we're doing right now. You know, it's amazing, but it's where we're at and any way you can help. And I want to thank our friends at the 1883 Collective. They're helping us in some of our NIL opportunities. They'll help you as well. Give them a call. If you're looking at helping out the program, $20 a month, a lot of, I've had friends say, that's not going to do anything. Well, you get 100 people at 20 bucks a month.
It will. Oh, yeah, it will. It and
make
the
1883, that commitment.
The 1883 Collective is still around.
Yeah, they're still
new,
here.
There's new different ways to do this, you know, like the ND Fan, our former players group that we have is, you know, doing the same thing. We're getting that off the ground. It's going well. There's different arms of this, but the 1883 Collective is still the flagship of the whole thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're still around. They're still going to be the base that everyone goes off.
And they're friends with everyone. They're all trying to do the same thing. Right. Bring in, and it's a word we need to talk about, retain these athletes. Right. If we want them to stay here, we have to pony up. And
retainage isn't just at our level, so to speak. I mean, they lose guys at Georgia. They lose them at Alabama. Yeah. So they're retaining at that level, too. So it's just a different world, and it's how it's going right now. And the energy in Grand Forks, like I said, before the season, the energy was good. The energy's at an all-time high in Grand Forks right now because the way the hockey team's playing, I mean, with the new coach, football has a new coach, women's basketball has a new coach. There's just
brand new softball field.
Yep.
Track has brand new facilities.
Soccer's got a new coach, and they're doubled their wins or something already.
Things are going good there.
So, yeah, I mean, the energy's good in Grand Forks. And now, I mean, it's time, you know, fans, it's just a different era.
Yep.
And you just adjust.
You know. You still help out the Champions Club. They're still working on scholarships. But now there's another arm. And you know what? $20 a month. It just can come right out of your account. You don't even have to think about it. We all got to get involved. And they're appreciative. These guys. And I was talking to a couple of the players, and it's not something that's openly really discussed or people disgusted they're not getting this. There's a good group of guys in the locker room right now at UND, and I think they're all playing. It sounds cliche, but for the name on the front of the jersey right now and not the back, and I think that's going to be harder and harder to find in college athletics now. Yeah. When
that's a good point. Dang.
Big Daddy's making $2 million and you're just trying to get a free book at the library, right? You know, or at the bookstore. So yeah. Everyone can do their part. So I'll get off that soapbox. It's important, but we're excited to partner with the 1883 Collective and a couple of the players up at the UND and hope to add some more and do some fun things with it. Make it about them, because we should mention that little baby design. I talked to Lance Rucker, and he gave me, we had a good chat. I said, it's probably going to be uncomfortable for you, but I want you to talk about yourself. Right. And that's the design we came up with, and it was a lot of fun. And
it was cool.
I saw his family after the last home game. They all had their little baby hoodies on and everything, so it was cool. But let's move on. Last week, 38-19. Really a game we felt in control. Southern Illinois, very cool stadium. I remember they launched that when Coach Lennon was down there, right? And
yeah,
I think I remember
years after he got there,
telling him when I talked to him in Fargo, I'm like, geez, I saw your office. You could fit like 9 of your old offices in your new yeah. one. But great facilities, but where are the fans?
Yeah, they did.
They're not a bad team.
I don't know if it was the time change, which shouldn't really have hurt. I think it was a 2-hour difference. But so they moved it up to noon. I don't know, the wind, and I think there was supposed to be weather.
Boo hoo.
I know, there's supposed to be weather.
Okay, why are you making excuses for it?
I don't know. But then when I was looking, let's say halfway through the game, you know, I was rewatching it the other day, and there were blue skies. I mean, yeah. It was windy, a little bit windy, but it was blue skies. That weather wasn't coming in anytime soon. And I don't know. It says officially 5,100 people. All right. I mean, I get, you know, maybe there was 5,100 there, but there should have been. It seats a heck of a lot more than that. And all that.
Seems like a nice place.
It goes all the way around. Yeah.
Seems like a fun place you'd want to go to a game. And
yeah. I don't know what the issue is down there with that. I don't. Yeah. That's a interesting dynamic, because they're number 12 in the country.
Yeah.
So there wasn't an issue, you know, and the only losses were to FBS and NDSU. So, yeah, anyway, but I couldn't have been more happy with the outcome, I'll tell you that, Tank.
Let's talk about number 9, who's been doing some very, very fun things to watch on the football field. He's making things happen.
Oh, how about that run? Well, on the first or second drive, when he did the first drive, I think when he did the flip, he did a 360 in the air because the guy cut his legs out. Well, I mean, it was just like, whoa, okay. Well, then the long touchdown run after that, he jumps over a guy and hop skips another guy and then out races him to the goal line. It's like, he's just a different animal. You know, I mean, it's like, I don't care about his size anymore. I'm done with that. He can go between the tackles. He can go outside the tackles. It doesn't matter, because his best runs are through the A gap. I mean, so it's not like he needs to always go left and right and outrun you. His best football is straight ahead, just like we say with that Gavin Zbarth, you know, that type of run. So yeah, Sawyer Seidel was absolutely electric. I mean, he was on his game. 4 touchdowns. What did he end up with here?
Over 100 yards for
108. What? Yeah, 108
2 weeks
yards
in a row
rushing.
Now. That's,
jeez. 4 total touchdowns. I mean, he was just that run before the half. I mean, we're going to get to how that got set up, but the run before the half bounces it left. Well, the run before it. So, I mean, all these runs are popping up in my head, Tank. So the run before the half, he bounces it around to the left and just turns on the Jets right down the sideline. Touchdown. Okay. The touchdown before that, though, he goes out to the right. He leaks out to the right. Safety comes up and absolutely blows out his knee and just falls to the ground. Sawyer just gave him a little juke. It wasn't even much. And he gave him a little juke in and then cut out again, and the safety just buckled, was just down on his knee. I mean, that wasn't even his best move by far. And it was, I'm like, wow. I mean, I was a little bit disappointed in the Southern Illinois secondary because I thought they were better than that. They didn't want anything to do with tackling. They didn't want anything to do with taking on blocks. I mean, UND's receivers were manhandling them out there.
Yeah.
And they were yelling at their teammates and throwing up arms. And it's like, I don't know. I expected more, I guess, out of their defense. I think their defensive line, they're not great. But, you know, they're battling up front, whatever. You do what you can do. But secondary was just not, you're not going to win with that, you know, and just not aggressive, not into it. I mean, Strandell was out there working the one guy over, just blocking him downfield because he's a big kid. But one thing, I mean, once you start to sense that as a receiver, you're like, now you want to do it every play because you know that guy doesn't want anything to do with it. So now it's fun. But, yeah, to sum it up, Tank, I mean, I know we started with Sawyer, but it was a dominant effort. Three quarters worth of domination. And one of my notes here, Tank, need to play four quarters, especially defensively. We're just not, that's the new mentality. Okay. And I'm not nitpicking here. I'm saying they need to get a new mentality that when you got a team down 28-0, that thing ends 38-0. 35-0, you know, because the offense will slow down a little bit. It just does. But defensively, now we gave up 19 in the second half. It's just, that's where, okay, we got to dial it in and say, no, we dominated the first half. We're going to dominate the second half. And then you do it another game and another game. And then it just becomes the standard. So that's something to watch for.
Is that maybe a depth concern?
No, we gave
you
a
know
point.
What I mean.
Well, we gave a
is that pitch. Is that something where we could look at like, hey, we need a few more guys on the roster.
Well, you could. Which, we gave up that touchdown to start the second half.
Which, if you look
I didn't
at
like
the
that.
Recruiting, it's coming.
Yeah, you know, no, it's coming. I'm just talking more of a mentality,
okay.
Like just a mental.
It's not
like you can't let them in. No, we're gonna hold this shutout. And each drive, gotta get off the field. Gotta get off the field to hold the shutout. Boom, come off the field. Okay, get a drink. Go back out. Your whole goal is looking up and seeing that zero. You just keep looking. It's on defense, that zero means everything. I mean, just as the game goes on, it's like, now I really want that zero. I want that zero to stay up so damn bad. I can, you know.
So it drives you as a defense.
It starts
seeing
to
that.
Get more and more. And
it's
not like, hey,
you're throwing a no-hitter after seven innings. Oh, great. You just jinxed them. In football, it's different.
Give up a three-run bomb.
Hey.
Yep.
Let's keep that up there, boys.
Right, yeah, and that's the mentality. Yep, I think that's got to come next. And the first half was outstanding. That was the best defense I've seen them play in a long, long time. Southern Illinois couldn't get anything.
No.
It was, and another note I have is our defense was kind of doing an outside-in approach where everything was bottled up, and their gains were so small. And so what Southern Illinois relies on, and here was a key to this game, they rely on yards after catch. Short throws make you miss, and they got some guys who can do it. We kept dropping them. Bam, bam, bam. They throw short, we drop them in place. Just tackling. Well, now it's not working. Offense doesn't work. They're out of rhythm. It's just frustrating. And, you know, when I scroll ahead, where's the play-by-play here? Yeah, I mean, 7 yards, 1 yard, 3 yards, 5 yards, 2 yards, 4 yards, 4 yards. Those are their plays in the first half. That's how many yards they got. We just kept bang, bang. They try to run the ball, drop them down. Try to throw a short crosser, drop them. And it was just like, well, if you rely on yak and you're not getting any yak, I mean, they didn't go downfield hardly at all. And I thought, okay, we got to defend the deep shots. Well, they weren't even trying that. They must have thought they were going to out-athleticize us or something. I don't know. I don't quite understand what they were getting at, but.
So here's I remember visiting with Malachi after the Youngstown game. He said, Coach Schmidt right now is putting them in almost every position that they can possibly come up with. And that's going back to scouting old games from different schools of guys on the staff that are working on the game plans. Like, they're going all in, and he goes, there is hardly ever any other than those football wrinkles you'll throw at a team. But other than that, we've seen everything in practice all week. Yeah. And that's a credit to Coach Schmidt and the staff.
That's a good point. That's a good thing. Because I know they do it, but geez, how much time does that take? You know, you're doing your normal prep, and then you bring up that, and they spend a lot of time. I mean, that's just the...
Well, have you seen Schmidt's schedule? He, like, goes in at 4 and gets home at midnight.
Yeah, and it's just... they do... I know some schools prepare more than other schools. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And some schools don't need to prepare as much. They might have better players or... you know, just at the FBS level, I don't think they prepare quite some of them, you know, as much. But UND has always, when he was the D coordinator and stuff, they over-prepare.
Yeah.
Now, it might be a lot to give these kids every week, put it that way. But they worry. You know, they worry. They don't want to be caught off guard, so they cover everything just like
you
said.
And it's showing, now, this isn't a defense that is very rarely out of position, would you say?
No, and that's
what the fun part of watching.
That's another
them right
point.
Now.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because every week, how many times have I said, "God, they're just around."
Yeah,
they're
even
around
the
ball.
Ones, like they weren't far off, right?
Yep. Yeah, they were there,
but
yeah, they got beat. You know, those ones I can live. You know, it's like, all right, he got beat. I don't like the only one I didn't like was Youngstown down the seam when our safety got beat, and then the corner had to fly over top. That was a bust. Now, okay. That was a bust. We got it. That was a mental bust, though. That wasn't a game prep bust.
But how many weeks? How often have we been talking about that?
Once. You know what I mean? Yeah, and then there are other times they've got beat downfield, but that was one-on-one. And the other team likes to make plays, too.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, all right, they got playmakers, too. But there always are – this game in particular, I mean, the run lanes were not there. The I pointed in the pregame, I said – QB DJ Williams backside draw counter run play, right? Kind of fake the bubble. He takes off running. His run game was non-existent.
3 yards?
Yeah, he didn't do anything. I mean, that wasn't even a part of their game plan. They must have thought they couldn't do it against us. So that took out a whole he's a running quarterback, and he couldn't run. So his yards all came in the second half. I mean, he ended up with 250-some passing yards, but it was all second half catch-up ball where, granted, and, you know I just said they need to dial it in for 4 quarters now, try to keep the zero. But human nature will also, when you're a secondary player, human nature will also tell you don't be stupid and when it's 28-0 and start jumping stuff. So they were going to start to get more intermediate throws, put it that way, comebacks, crossers. Just because the safeties are going to be a little more lenient. I'm going to hang back and just make sure I don't get beat long. So they took advantage of that. But the first half, I mean, like I said, 28-0, that was the best half of football I can remember.
Yeah.
For UND football. It was damn near flawless.
So I brought up depth earlier. I don't think we had to worry about depth at running back position on Saturday. It was hard to see Z-Barth go down, who's just really emerged the last couple weeks. You know, it's been fun to watch him play and goes down with the collar injury. It sounds like you have 4 weeks having surgery this week, possibly today. We're recording here Wednesday. But it sounded like they were going to know more once they go in on surgery, see how bad things are.
Right. Yeah, that hurts. Gavin was playing. He's starting to turn it on there. And that long run, it was a long run down the sideline. And my mind tells me to just get out of bounds. Okay. You're running along the sideline. Two guys are coming over to hit you. he could have veered out of bounds.
You don't have legs the size of his, though, Kelly.
But that's where it goes backwards to Gavin Zeebart doesn't run out of bounds. Okay, no. He just doesn't. And a lot of running backs don't. So this is a different animal here with when you're telling. Because right away I'm like, God, I see him laying there. I'm like, he could have just ducked out of bounds. But then I'm like, no, that's not the way they're wired. They just don't do that. So that it was a normal, he lowered his shoulder to take the hit and try to maybe deliver a hit, and then just went flat, boom, right forward. And I think it just hit, you don't break those when you go down on your shoulder typically, like sideways. It's when you're kind of falling face first is when those collarbones go because and he fell awkwardly like that. I feel terrible for him. He's a good kid, and hopefully we can get him back. I mean, 4 weeks is probably the minimum, but geez, it'd be nice to get him back for the playoffs. And, we're going to be, we're going to have to, I got Chuck Lagama came in, the freshman.
Ooh, we've been hearing about since day one of fall camp. They've really liked him. So we got to see a show on Saturday of what he's all about.
Thick and, kid.
Yeah.
For a high school kid. I mean, right out of high school, he's a thick kid, just, low base, and he was cutting, making some nice moves out there. He'll be all right. He'll fill the gap. What do we got? Six carries, 41 yards. So in his first real action. So that was good. It's good to see him. But yeah, hopefully just our best go out to Gavin because just stinks. I mean, it was a long run. It was a great play by him and just kind of a fluke deal.
How about kicking? I read Tom Miller's, I think, takeaways from the game, and how someone came up to Eric Schmidt and said, got a little deal in the kicking department today.
Oh, yeah.
He got hurt.
Got hurt.
In the warm-ups.
Yeah.
Sounded like heard something. Something didn't go right in warm-ups.
Right. Yeah, and that's why he said that's why you bring multiple kickers. Can't bring one.
Two snappers.
Yep.
Two holders. Yep.
The backup snapper is a big one too. So, Kenton Loftman came in, and I know I saw him kicking that first extra point, and I was like, "What the heck?" Nobody knew, and so he did a good job. Hit the field goal. What was it? Where was 22 yarder in the fourth quarter? That made it, put us up 38-13. That was a good kick. He hit that one good, hit all the extra points. So that was good. I mean, to have a backup you can rely on like that with Loftman. But, that was interesting. And then I want to bring up, too, with kicking, Silvernail was good again. Hit a driving punt early, nice one. And then he put that one inside the one-yard line. Jeez, that was beautiful. I think it was Wiltshire got down there and
because they looked at that one a little bit, right?
Yeah, they wanted to make sure Wiltshire wasn't in before he batted it out. And he did a nice job batting it out to his teammate down right at the one. Oh, that was a beautiful, beautiful play. And then speaking of Wiltshire, looking at my notes here, the play of the day. Okay, without a doubt. So it's, what is it now? We're 7-0. Okay, start of the second quarter. It's 7-0. Okay, we're playing well. 4th and 10 at their own, I think it was their own 40, SIU decides to go for it.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I guess, but 4th and 10 is a little much, well, Schmitty decides to bring 7. So he says, okay. Well, and it's a good call for 10 yards because that means the receivers need to get 10 yards down the field before your 7 get there. And the odds of one of your 7 getting through untouched is high, very high. Okay, one of them is going to get through untouched. Well, that was Wiltshire. Our guy Wiltshire, number 3. So he brings 7. Wiltshire comes off the right edge all by himself because they just don't have enough. They sent 4 receivers out, so they didn't keep enough in to block. And he got the sack. Yeah, DJ Williams tried to get away from him, tripped him up. Well, so we get the ball right there, and immediately after, Sawyer Seidel runs it in for a touchdown. Huge turning point in the game. Yeah. I mean, massive. Went 7-0, 14-0 like that, and kind of took the – I think it kind of – that might have took the wind out of their sails, honestly. Even though it's 14-0, they did not look the same. I mean, they were shell-shocked the rest of that quarter.
Yeah, because you brought up a play how we ended, Zach Lewis on that pick. Wow, yep. He just played that great. Oh. And then Seidel running it on the next play, wasn't it?
Speaking of those DBs that didn't want to take on blocks, BJ Fleming was blocking him on that play near the sideline. I'd say there was 3 yards from him to the sideline. And he's blocking the guy, walling him off. Sawyer Seidel runs right behind Fleming, okay, right off his butt. Mm-hmm. And the DB never even tried to fight through Fleming or reach around him to get a hand on Sawyer. Sawyer just runs right behind him in for a touchdown. I mean, it was like the effort was just poor out of those that secondary, not aggressive at all. And so, yeah, it was that was one where the downfield blocking, you know, came into play again. And they pride themselves on that. You know, the receivers should, because they get a lot of accolades for catching balls, but they got to block downfield, and Sawyer took advantage of it.
Because that kind of led to just a brief comment we had before we went on the air here about second quarters. Like, remember how bad Montana was? How we finished that second quarter?
Yeah.
that department's been cleaned up pretty good, hasn't it?
Real well. Yeah, yeah, it's a different
second
world.
Second quarter has been a pretty good quarter for us.
Yeah, we pointed to that. Yeah, in Montana. I mean, we actually played well in the second quarter. We just couldn't get in the end zone. Yep. Kept having gaffes and timing gaffes at the end of but a couple more plays I wanted to point to. Tyler Erkman's forced fumble. As Southern Illinois was going in, they were inside of the 10, I believe. And Tyler Erkman, where was that? Yeah, Tyler Erkman reached out, knocked it out, a little flare pass to the flat. He comes flying up, and he only came in because I think Jai Martin got hurt. So Erkman comes in, and a couple plays later, reaches through, pokes the ball out. Huge stop. I mean, they were going in to score. That was going to be their first touchdown, and we stop them there again. And then, you know, we had the Lewis interception. I want to go back to Grant Nolan again. Last week, I talked about that 3rd and 10 down the sideline against Youngstown when he broke it up. Man-to-man, they went after him with their best receiver. He broke it up, got into the guy. Great technique. We end up going down on an 8-minute drive, okay? This week, they did it again. They went after Grant Nolan on the sideline there, and he got in there and broke it up again, one-on-one. And these teams are seeing true freshmen, and they're going at him in key situations, but he came up big. I mean, I remember saying to myself, Jesus, he did it again. Like, holy cow, he broke it up again. So that kid's got a future. I mean, they just threw him to the wolves this year, basically, and said, hey, you're starting at corner. And it was against Montana, you know. I remember out in Montana, and he has battled back. He's gotten much better as the year has gone on.
Well, 38-19, let's put that one to bed and now look ahead. The UND Football 360 pregame show is proudly presented by Rumors Sports Bar, Grand Forks' home for pregame hype, postgame breakdowns, and every big moment in between. Whether you're meeting up with the crew or catching the game on the big screen, Rumors is where UND fans rally. Cold drinks, good food, sharp takes, and the kind of UND energy you can't fake. Development Homes, Inc., gaming, simulcast horse racing, pull tabs, blackjack, and the pig wheel. Interstate Industrial, oil field services, the 1883 Collective. Hey, we're still here. The 1883 Collective is a 100% volunteer organization. It exists to support student athletes at UND. Contributions to the collective help fund support for unique ways to get students involved in the community. Want to add some juice to the excitement of the football program right now? Dollars to the 1883 Collective are fuel on the fire as we work to recruit and retain top talent in our football program. They work closely with partners in the athletic department and the Alumni Association to ensure they're providing second to none opportunities for student athletes that choose to come and stay at UND. Go to 1883collective.com, click on the Get Involved tab to make your contribution today. The Toasted Frog, whether it's the night before kickoff, post-game celebration, or just a solid date night, the Toasted Frog in Grand Forks delivers. From legendary fried pickles to craft cocktails and cozy vibes, it is the go-to spot for Fighting Hawk fans who know how to eat well. UND Football 360 is brought to you by TankLogo.com. Hey, it's your one-stop shop for promotional products, corporate apparel, signage, and print. Whether you're building a brand, outfitting a team, or making a statement, TankLogo.com takes care of you and your message from concept to delivery. Trusted by local teams, businesses, and anyone who wants to make their brand stand out. UND Football 360 is brought to you by Kelly Howe with Nodak Insurance. Trusted coverage from someone who knows North Dakota inside and out. Whether you're protecting your home, farm, or future, Kelly's got your back with personalized service and coverage you can count on when it matters most. Let's take a trip around the Missouri Valley. Thanks to our good friends at the Toasted Frog, downtown Grand Forks. A great place to dine in and enjoy a great meal after a UND win. And hopefully those keep coming, because there's not many losses when it comes to the Alaris Center. But my screen just went out on me here. Let's see. South Dakota beat Indiana State, what, 19-14?
Yeah. Yeah. No, what do we have? No, that was South Dakota, Northern Iowa, 17-14.
Okay.
Yeah, it was.
My screen's jumping because my producer that usually has these for me all laid out every week.
God, our producer let us down this week.
Didn't do a very good job, so now you're looking at two idiots on their cell phones right now trying to do this.
No, South Dakota, we had South Dakota 17-14 over Northern Iowa. Once again, okay. They eke it out, okay? South Dakota, what do we got them at? 5-3 on the year? Is that what we got? Let me look.
And they started the year at number 4, right, in the country?
Yeah, so they're 5-3 on the year. I mean, geez, the yardage was even. Northern Iowa's a bad outfit, you know, and I mean, give them credit. They won on the road, okay, but they're just not the same. You know, we've talked about it all year, but, hey, they got the win. So, at this point, I mean, if you're South Dakota, they're just trying to get to 7. You know, the game with us is going to be the big one for them. They need that game with us because they'll have the Jack still coming up. But
they're not going to get it.
Yeah,
I'm going to say that right now.
We're different. Different unit.
South Dakota State beats Murray State 35-14. That score should be bigger, right?
It was ugly. Yeah, it was kind of, once again, well, Chase Mason got hurt, quarterback, so now they don't know his status for this week against NDSU. So that slowed him down a little bit. But, yeah, the Jacks, they've kind of been, but they're scuffling.
There's nothing sexy about South Dakota State this year, right?
No, I think they're still figuring out what they are. You know, honestly, it might take, you know, they lost so many guys and had to bring in so many and promote so many. So, yeah, let's just call them a work in progress still there, but obviously a top 5 team.
North Dakota State beats Indiana State 38-7.
Yeah, that was 10-7 and a half, but the wind, huge delay. I don't know if it's a couple of hours, weather delay. So it was an ugly game, bad. Yeah, you know, NDSU came out of the locker room, pulled away 28-0 second half, as they should have. Yep.
They probably should have moved that game up.
I think they did. It was noon. They had worse weather over
there.
Okay. Yep.
The tweet of the day. I mean, it was nice to see us win, but he said this game could help us down the road. Youngstown State beats Illinois State 40-35.
Yeah, that was big for us because we don't play Illinois State. So we don't care if they win, you know, really. I mean, we want them to probably lose a few and just be below us in the standings. And, yeah, it gets Youngstown a quality win. You know, they've beaten Towson. And, yeah, that was about it. I mean, Towson's their best win, and they got some lower-level ones with Mercyhurst and Robert Morris. But gets Youngstown to 4-3 is the key. So we want, you know, just builds our resume. We want Southern Illinois. We want Southern Illinois to keep winning. You know, maybe win 7. At least, you know, they don't want, not more than us, but, you know, it's like we want them to win. We want Youngstown to win a few because we got to have some quality wins. We're going to have the thing with UND, when you look at that, the reason why we look at these scores every week is to kind of compare and get a feel where at the end of the year for the committee. Well, we're going to have some real dogs on our schedule. Okay. I mean, it's Portland State might not win. Valpo, I think, won once against a lower level team. They might not win. Okay, we're going to have Murray State coming up. They might get a couple. And Indiana State's got 2 wins right now, and they might not win again. So it's like, okay, we're going to have some real dogs on this schedule here that we need to pump up our wins. And so that's Youngstown, that's Southern Illinois, you know, South Dakota, can get to 6 or 7 wins, we beat them. Obviously, we need to beat them. But yeah, that's kind of how I look at this thing, because we've been doing the playoff looks. We'd usually start 2 weeks out every year, because every year UND had 7 wins. So it was like we're always on the bubble, you know. So we're always doing comparisons, and so you start to figure out what it takes. And yeah, the Youngstown's the one. That's where we want market improvement out of them.
And that is your trip around the Missouri Valley. Thank you to our good friends at the Toasted Frog. The Development Homes 360 Guest of the Week. And it's an honor every time we get to visit with this guy. Legendary coach Mike Berg and analyst on the Fighting Hawks Radio Network. How are you doing today, coach?
I'm Guest of the Week?
Yeah.
Holy cow. Wow, that's an honor.
It's a big committee that decides, and usually about, less than 24 hours ago we asked you to come on?
Well, I don't know how many had to turn you down before you turned to me, but I'm very happy to be here.
Real quickly, I talked to Jerry Kaminsky today, the quarterback for UND, and I said, hey, we're going to have Coach Berg on today. What does he mean to the UND football players? And this was not blowing smoke up your butt, Coach, but he just said, you're a football guy. We love having him around the program. He's a wealth of knowledge. He's knows his place around the program, and we just couldn't be more thrilled to have a guy like that there. So nice little compliment there for you, Coach.
Well, that is nice to hear, and the one thing that was accurate is I'm around there a lot. That's true. And well, I'm a good observer. I don't know if I do much else good, but I do observe pretty well, and I do try to get to know these players. You know, when I watch, honestly, I don't care that much about schemes and alignments and formations and all that, because once the game starts, that stuff that you were planning all week changes anyway. So I watch how players work. I watch effort. I watch interaction with teammates. I watch their body language. I watch how they are in drills, and try to form opinions about the young men themselves and what they bring to the team. So I enjoy being around it, and it really is one of the real joys that I have is to spend time around them. And I'm very thankful and very grateful for the opportunity that the coaches give me to be there.
Well, you molded a lot of great young men at the high school level for many years. And we promoted this on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it now, and asked people to put their questions in. And I thought before we get into UND, here our first Twitter question is, with the Cushman Classic coming up this Friday, does he have a favorite memory from coaching in that game?
There are a couple of games where we came back late. I will get some of the details wrong, but I think one, and I'm really bad because I'm not going to remember exactly what season it was, but I think we were down by less than a touchdown with about a minute, just a few seconds over a minute to go, and I think we were on the 18-yard line. We got the ball. I think our first play, we had a penalty. So it was like first and 15, and we went down the field and scored with seconds left to win the game. Mm-hmm. And that one obviously, and we did that a couple of times where we came back late and, got the ball and had a chance to win it late. And so at least two times that happened. Really, my memories of the Cushman Classic are, and you may remember this even from your days, the size of the crowd. They would line the field. They would line the fence around the ends of the field. And it was a community event. And it included everything from fireworks to food courts. And it was a community celebration of high school football. And to me, that's bigger than whoever wins that football game. Of course, you want to win it. But that really, in my mind, it was really the first of the so-called classic games that were set up across the state. And it's something that I think is one of the real community events in Grand Forks that people just don't want to miss.
Yeah, I think you summed it up well. They did a nice job. I can't remember you'd probably remember, but you know, years back when they took it to that next level, you know, put a name on it. I'm guessing around 2004, 2005 ish, maybe put the name on it, turned it into a community event. You know, back when I played at Red River, you know, against you guys, and it was just a big game, you know, and it was treated well that way. But yeah, they took it to another level, and it's fun. It's just good. Like you said, it's good for Grand Forks. Hey, I got another one, Coach. This one's going to put you on the spot, so get ready. Okay? So see if Coach Berg can name all his former players that played at UND.
Oh, boy.
There's a lot. You have a bunch.
Well, there was probably a running back that you can remember, right?
I can't remember his name. It was a decent running back. Yeah.
Hey, off the top of my head, could I name a bunch? Absolutely. You know, if I start doing that, we're going to leave some out.
Yeah.
But, when you start talking about the Philip Moores and the Mark Callahans, and I mean, I actually, it's an interesting question you ask, because I'm at all the practices pretty much. And I was sitting there one day looking at the local kids that were out at practice, and I kind of pose that own question to myself. And of course I keep all the records from back in 79 when I came, and I think we're right around, I went through the our rosters, and we're right around 30 plus former players from Central that have played at UND. And I'm not going to say they played 4 years and graduated and were all Americans, but were on that team and played and contributed. And then so that's pretty good when you like to see local kids, and I would guess the number is very similar for the other schools in Grand Forks. Maybe not as many as us, because I've been here longer than Red River and East Grand Forks have been through several coaches since I was there. I was at Central for 28 years and saw a lot of other coaches come and go. But from our group, since I was there, I think we were right around 30. That time I went down and counted them up.
That's a good number, Coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I mean, those are D2 days. They're not necessarily the D1 days. But right now, I think, just again off the top of my head, I think there are 3 former Central players on that team right now. And I believe there are 2, but maybe 3 in an injury, Red River player. So that's, you know, half a dozen or more local players. And, you know, you've got kids from Thompson, Crookston. I don't think there's anybody from East Grand Forks right now on that team, but you love to see local kids. And, of course, at both of our universities in this state, we love seeing the kids from small towns. And they both seem to find these guys, and they really rise up when they get to these universities and get into these programs.
Coach, we had you on, I believe it was after the K-State game. And I remember, it seems like a long time ago now. But the big question mark going into the game was, how are we going to be this year? You know, there was a lot of question marks. And I think you came out of the K-State going, you liked how this team competed and was pretty fundamentally sound when it came to tackling and all that stuff. Where do you put this football team now since that week one game?
Yeah, I haven't changed my opinion about, you know, how I feel about this team. Do I like what I see? Yeah, fundamentally, I even this morning at practice, sitting there watching them, thinking now they are going into their they've played seventh, they're going into their eighth game. They spent 3 practice segments this morning on pursuit and tackling drills that you practice the first week of practice. Fundamentally, they're doing the same things week after week after week that win football games for you. And so that's the approach that this team has taken. There's nobody getting ahead of themselves. I don't hear talk about anything beyond, let's get ready to play Indiana State this week. And literally, those players, whether you're a starter, whether you're a returning all-conference guy or whatever, you are doing the basic fundamentals that are elevated a bit from the same doggone things that the kids in youth football are doing. Blocking, tackling, basic fundamentals of football. And I think that's Coach Schmidt and his staff's approach. And that will make a difference because they demand effort. You don't show up out there without full effort. I mean, they will find you. You will be exposed, and they will fix that on the spot. And so I just think there's a culture and there's a mentality that's been established there that we're going to do things the right way. And somebody may go out and beat us on the field, but fundamentally, effort-wise, that's just not going to happen. And I think when you do that, when that is your approach, you're going to be in every football game, especially late in the season when sometimes those things start to disappear because you're more concerned about schemes and plays and scouting reports and all that baloney. It still comes down to blocking and tackling. And, you know, how often do we say in a ball game, geez, they're not able to control a line of scrimmage here, or they've missed too many tackles, or, you know, they're not covering. I mean, it's the fundamentals. And if you can focus on that, all the schemes and all the plays and all that stuff will take care of itself.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. That's a great point, Coach. Earlier in the show, I kind of, you know, to dovetail off that a little bit, I pointed to the fact that, you know, they were up 28-0 and end up giving up 19 points. And I'm kind of coming from the mentality, and I think Coach Schmidt is still trying to instill this, that you can't stop because it's 28-0. It's you need to play four quarters. We need to teach these guys how to play four quarters, especially defensively, and have the pride to see that zero up there on the scoreboard. And then you run out again, and you see that zero, and you think, I got to keep it. We got to keep that zero up there just to get that mentality instilled, because there have been a few games now where we've given up late touchdowns, and it's kind of – and it wasn't – and it was even the – I mean, the start of the third quarter, actually. In this one, we gave up that touchdown right away. And it's just kind of a – you know, I granted it's 28-0. I get that. But I think that's one thing, you know, like you said, he's trying to instill the fundamentals. Well, I think I'd like you to speak on this a little bit, but as a coach, are you trying to instill the mental side of that fundamental, saying, hey, we need to finish teams off and keep that zero up there?
Sure. Well, I'm sure if you talked to Coach Schmidt and you had a conversation about, are you happy coming out in the second half, early in the second half, and giving up a score, or giving up, not recovering an onside kick, or, letting somebody get behind you. Are you happy about that? No, not at all. Did you at halftime mention to your football team, we're going to keep our foot on the gas, we need to dominate these people? Sure, we talked about it at halftime. But still, who are you dealing with there? You're dealing with young men. And when they go in at halftime, I don't care who you are. You could bring Vince Lombardi into that locker room. The mentality is still, we're dominating these guys. And I always go back to the fact that, you know, that other team, they're coached too. They're not happy at halftime. In fact, I think I mentioned during the first half on the air that, you know what, these guys are going to have to look at that film tomorrow. They're not going to be happy. Then no matter, this game is going to end. We know how it's going to end. Those guys are going to look at that film tomorrow, and they're not going to be happy. And so they challenge their guys. And so I'll give them some credit. But no, I would say if there's an issue, there's a space in the UND football team right now that would be a concern, or that not a concern, but like you need to approach this is, yeah, we need to come out in the third quarter and dominate the way we left the field in the first half. So it's not going unnoticed. It's not being ignored. But, yeah, that would be a concern. And then mentally, sure. Oh. Part of fundamentals is the mental approach to the game. I think it's very solid. And I think still, if you sat down and got an honest answer from all of the coaches, do you want to play these kids that we brought on the trip, or do you want the zero on the scoreboard? I'd like to do both. If I had to pick one, I'd play the kids that we brought on the trip. Nothing worse than making a long trip and going through the whole thing and then not getting on the field when you could have. Because you start asking yourself, what did I do wrong or what's wrong with me? So I think it's important to play those kids. And reality, your twos aren't as good as their ones. They're not. So
I'm going to tie about
that's a reality too.
Four tweets into one question here. it's about the defense. It's a new defense. They want to know kind of what your thoughts are on the new defense. What are the biggest changes you've seen, especially in the rush defense where we've had some struggles? Now we're one of the better defenses in stopping the run right now. And then should we be concerned about some of the downfield stuff teams have been able to get on us?
Well, part of the downfield stuff, I'll start with that. I think it's that they're playing some young guys. I mean, they have a true freshman at safety. They have a true freshman at corner. And they are getting, they're not starters, but they're getting quality reps. And so, again, who are probably the most talented players on the teams that are getting downfield? They're the wide receivers. They're the guys that run, that can get open. That's why they were recruited. Everybody seems to have a quarterback that can put the ball anywhere they want on the field. And so, in some cases, that's a mismatch. Yeah, that's a concern. But I think when the starters are out there, it's not a big concern. This, we went into this season and we were told this is going to be a 42 defense with five defensive backs, you know, four and a nickel. And so you're going to have six men basically in the box. Hey, that's baloney. There are times, and as you watch them, you know very well, Kelly, there's eight men in the box. There's nine men in the box. And you don't know where they're coming from. I'd like to know what all their calls are. I wouldn't even attempt to know. They're lining up here, there, and everywhere. They're coming from here, there, and everywhere. And if you're a quarterback, your head, I mean, you have to be moving your eyes like a one-eyed dog in a sausage factory because you don't know where they're coming from. Your head is just spinning, and that's exactly what they do. So who's getting the sacks? The nickels, the corners, linebackers? I mean, and you don't know. So how are you and your receivers going to adjust to that? So I love that defense. I didn't know much about it, and I'm not saying I still know a lot about it, but I like it when I see it.
Right. It's sound. That's what I say. It's the best compliment I can give is they're always around. They're around when the other team runs up the middle. They're around when they throw flares in the flat. They're around when they do crossers. I mean, it's just – it's sound, yeah. You know.
If there's a weakness in a defense like that, I think if they're, and I won't even say it's a weakness, a vulnerable spot, it might be in the middle somewhere where you don't have as many people because you're coming from all over. Yeah. But again, every defensive game plan in the history of football starts with we need to stop the run. They're pretty darn good at stopping the run. So somebody's doing something right and somebody's making the right calls. And I think they're getting better week after week. I mean, they're still learning this too. Right. They played seven games. Not like they've been doing this for a decade.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Yeah, that's where they've been evolving quite well.
Yeah,
as the season's gone on, Coach. I want to Southern Illinois, small crowd. I wanted to ask you about it. With the wind, weather moved the time up, or are they just not juiced down there? What did you sense?
Boy, you know, we talked about that. Was it because they moved the time? I think everybody knew that they had moved the time. I don't think that was the secret. It certainly didn't change the plans for thousands of people.
No.
Weather, it wasn't bad. I mean, it was expected to get bad as the day went on. Nobody worries about some wind. It's a curved stadium, a kind of an enclosed stadium. It wasn't uncomfortable out there. None of the players were wearing sideline coats or anything like that. So it was not a bad day for football. I'm kind of thinking for a team that was really ranked, what were they, 12 or 11 somewhere? It was very disappointing to see a crowd like that. And that's a college town. I can't imagine there was a lot else going on in the area on that Saturday. Now, I do know it was homecoming at their high school, at their local high schools, because when we got to the airport, it was packed with fancy dresses and suits and tuxedos because they use the stairway in the airport to take their photos on in the rain. So they all moved in there. So I'm like, what the heck is going on? It looked like you walked into the middle of the prom. But so, you know, but I can't imagine that has anything to do with anything. I'm very, very surprised and honestly a bit disappointed at a Missouri Valley competitive team. It's not like they were a bottom feeder with a crowd like that.
Yeah. I mean, even Murray State gets 15,000.
Yeah, in a stadium, and that's a nice stadium. I mean, it's not fancy, but you're not going to some, you know, creaky old stadium. It's a pretty nice place to watch a ball game, and it was a fall day.
Yeah.
So,
someone on Twitter wants to know what is your favorite road trip to take, and what is the worst?
Well, right now, what to go there? I mean, you fly into Marion, and then you get to the highway and turn left and go to Mount Vernon where the hotel is, an hour. And then you get up in the morning and drive back past Marion on your way to Carbondale, which is another about half hour, 45 minutes the other way. So there's a lot of moving parts. That's not an easy trip to make. I mean, the accommodations, everything's fine. It's pretty much the same anywhere. What's my favorite trip to make? Oh, let's go to Bozeman or Missoula. I'll take that one. You know, in the conference, you know, they're all pretty much the same. And right now with Coach Schmidt, things have changed a little bit on the travel. They leave a little later in the day. They generally leave about 4 o'clock, no matter where they're going. They get to the hotel, they get to the airport, they get on the bus and go to the hotel. They stay at the hotel. Their meetings were all done actually in Grand Forks. So they had their team meetings, their position meetings, and a practice in Grand Forks in the morning before they ever left. So none of that walkthrough stuff and finding places to have position meetings happens now. It's just fly in, get on the bus, get to the hotel, eat, have our team meeting, and get ready, get up the next day and play. So it's kind of condensed and seems to work pretty well.
Hey, you know, we've been talking about a lot of new things. Because it's new. We've got the facilities, the nutrition, some new players. There's a lot of sayings up and new little traditions Schmitty's doing with flying the W flag on the practice field when they win each week. That flag stays up. What do you like most about the new changes that you've seen since the Eric Schmidt era started, Coach?
Well, you know, when you start talking about that, it comes across maybe as some condemnation or some unhappiness with what came before. And Kelly's a good guy to be in on this conversation because what's happened at UND over the years has been pretty darn solid. And you won't find maybe a more loyal alumni base of former players than have played there. So it's been good. I don't see much that you would complain about other than the facilities got worn out over the years. What I like right now is the energy. They get up early. They get going. They have their meetings early. They're on the field. They get their work done. And it's just highly structured, highly organized, very high expectations. I think more than anything, I think the players can't imagine disappointing this coaching staff, not just Coach Schmidt, but their position coaches. And so I like the energy. I like the mentality of getting up early, coming to work, getting your work done, and let's be better today. And we'll throw it out on the field. Because if we do our work, if fundamentally we do the right things, the game is going to take care of itself. Because as the season goes on, those things start to slip away for other teams. And as the schedule has worked out this year, obviously you look at the schedule ahead, the big games that lie ahead are going to be critical. And I think this team has positioned itself to be able to deal with those well. And so if they can stay healthy and avoid losing key people, I'm excited about what lies ahead.
Well, it's funny how you said they don't want to let down their coaches. And I've been doing some interviews with Coach Schmidt in the locker room after the game, so I'm seeing him interact with some of his players, and it's yes, sir. You know, they're very formal with him, but yet he's having a good time with them too. He commands the respect, but he's also that player's coach as well, where they, I think all of these guys right now from who I've talked to would run through a brick wall for the guy.
Well, what's interesting about that is the team that they really attempt to in their culture is that the team is player led, not coach led.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The coaches create the structure and, you know, set the expectations and set the bar, but they expect the players to lead each other. And that's talked about. That's not a new concept. That doesn't just come up this week. That has been from day one, is that they put it on the players to hold each other to a high level. And so I think if that ever started to slip, somebody would step in there and straighten that back out. And so that's what's kind of fun to see, is players are demanding from each other, themselves and each other, that they meet this high standard and meet this high bar that's been set. And so I think that has shown up on the field. And again, it's college football, and it is a business. And part of the business is you want to be successful and win games. So how do you win games when you don't talk about winning all the time? You win games by doing the right thing. You win games by going out on the field well prepared, and you put the work in. And trust me, they've put the work in. One thing every player on that team knows is they've done probably more work than anybody they play. And that makes a difference.
Yeah. Well said, Coach. The mental side of it before the game even starts, they got the foundation ready. And that's one thing I remember when I played too. I mean, Coach Thomas was good at that. Coach Lennon was good at that. You just felt like you were more prepared than your opponent. You didn't know that.
Yeah.
You have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah.
But you felt like there's no way they can be doing more than us. We're prepared. We got everything covered, right?
You don't have to express it in words, although you can and you do. You remind each other when you're, you know, about ready to quit, like, holy cow, this is a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
You remind each other that you've been through it and that you're well prepared. And when you go out there on Saturday, I think you get into that fourth quarter, it will pay off. And so, you know, I'm kind of talking in cliches in a way, and you're saying all the good stuff. And, you know, if they were on a 2 or 3 game losing streak, somebody might call and say, hey, that's all a bunch of baloney. You know, just win. Just, you know, get the ball in the end zone. Well, there's more to it than that. There's lots of moving parts when it comes to a college athletic team, football or any other sport. And so all I know is they're doing the right things. The kids love being on that football team. They love playing for this coaching staff. And the coaches love what they're doing. They're young. They're energetic. Some of them, this is their first full-time gig. And they come to work every day full of energy and excitement. And that's rubbed off on the players as well. So it's just fun to see what they're doing right now. And they're enjoying it, and they're having a good time.
Coach, we've kept you well past your allotted time that you gave us. You gave us a strict time limit that we could have.
I did.
We like to act like it. No, you didn't. But hey, one more.
We could talk to you all day, yeah, Coach. I know. This we is great stuff here. I've enjoyed this a lot.
I have nothing to do. Yeah. Right.
So hey, one more before we let you go. This week, Indiana State coming to town, 2-5 on the year. We know what they are, and you know, I don't have to go into that. But if you were a head coach, and you've been a head coach quite a bit in your life, and you're sitting there with a 5-2 record, you know, played how you did at Southern Illinois, you got Indiana State coming to town, is your radar up for a letdown with your team? Are you monitoring your team a little bit during practice? Just, are they dialed in? Are we reading headlines? Or where are you at with that this week?
I hear this it's more of a media thing than anything. Oh, this is a trap game. These guys better take them seriously. They take everybody seriously. They could be playing Jones Junior High, and they would strap it up, and they would go out there just snorting because they know they're in for a battle. So Indiana State beat this team last year. Indiana State has done some good things this season. They have 2, maybe 3 receivers that are amongst the best in the conference. And we know they have had their moments. Have they been able to put it together against Missouri Valley teams for a whole game? No. But we've all been there and seen what happens when a team gets a 2 or 3 score lead. Some, you know, weird thing happens. All of a sudden, their heart starts beating a little faster or whatever. And then you're coming from behind. Nobody wants to come from behind, especially if you're playing a team that realistically on paper doesn't match up to you. So they're at home. They're really pushing to get a good crowd. I know they've made tickets available at a very affordable price. So this is huge. There is no way you can't get into the head of the players, but these coaches and the people with the program work very hard to make sure they treat it as if they're underdogs, and they there will be no letdown. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'll guarantee you it's not going to be a letdown.
Rumors, Sports Bar, Grill and Casino 360 game preview. God, I could go for a cheeseburger and a tall cold one at Rumors right now.
I'm going to be up there this weekend. I got a few things going on, a few besides the game. So, yeah, I'm going to try to make it in. And it's their version of the grinder. I'm telling people you got to have it. You know, it's a twist, obviously, on the red pepper. It's not the same, but it's more of meat-based. You know, I put a little bit more of that on there than the sauce. So, yeah, that's my go-to there. But, yeah, Rumors, it'll be a place to be this weekend.
See, that's good. But when you walk in, the best part about Rumors is standing on that sidewalk, ready to walk in, and that fan blowing all that goodness from the kitchen. And it's like, yeah, I got to have burger and fries in
Sucks
here.
Sucks you in.
It's just that smell is good. But, yeah, we play Indiana State. And let's just get to the last thing we were going to talk about. Let's talk about it first, the letdown game. It seems like every year we tend to, let's just say, crap the bed.
Yeah,
I'll clean it up in case my mom's listening.
All right.
We crap the bed. But, boy, the last thing Coach Berg said was, you're not going to see a letdown in this team. That's right. Not going to happen.
Yep. That's telling me the staff staying after them on the normal, not because, boy, we're worried about a letdown this week. We need to get after them even more. No, they're just going to do their normal routine, which is to get after them and dial it in and, you know, demand excellence out of these guys and demand they come ready, prepared for meetings and everything else. So, yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting. Let's watch. Let's see how they are. I mean, we've just kind of been conditioned a little bit, a letdown here or there. Well, Indiana State 2 years ago came in and could have beat us.
Because we put the road war rows to bed, right, for this year.
Yep.
So now this is the next one. Let's no more letdown games. Let's just go do our thing.
And if it is a slow start, that's fine. You know, just recover from it and then pound them. You know, that type of thing. So no big deal there. Yeah, 2-5, Indiana State, it's your typical team. But they always play hard. And they always have some guys. That's the thing about Indiana State. They don't win a lot of games. And a few years back, they actually won 6 or 7. But they always have some guys. And they look okay at some positions. Like, they'll have a defensive end. I remember a few years ago, geez, just twitchy dude. He was giving us issues. And, you know, they'll have it, but they just don't have enough of them. And they just don't have depth. And they don't, you know, the facilities just aren't what they need to be. You know, they're up against it over there. But if they show up and they're ready to go, they battle you and they fight hard and they play hard for Kurt Mallory. He's a good guy. He runs a good program. They don't win a lot of games, but he is a good football coach from a football family. So I mean, I'd never have minded watching, you know, Indiana State play, just cause I know, you know, they do it the right way. They try. They just don't have what everyone else in the league has. As far as tradition, history, facilities, money, you name it, they don't got it. Now, so, you know, and Larry Bird, make point to that for basketball. Well, their basketball team, you know, jumped up, I think, a couple of years ago, but then they were down. And it's tough. You know, it's tough around there. So this one, Tank, obviously UND is going to be a heavy favorite.
Yeah.
I would say it's going to be 27-30. Point favorite, if I had to guess.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the score's going to be 27-30.
No,
good,
better
guys
not be.
Lose. You always put us in front.
Grow up.
Hey, my producer, my staff that gives me my info for the week says Indiana State's offense, the two words here, not good. and
not very good.
Yeah, that's what the team wrote this week, and it's not even any close to getting better this week because we've got a quarterback injury at Indiana State, and the new guy's not very good.
Well, I don't know. He's not as good. Elijah Owens was their starter. He was their guy last year, too. Good athlete, real good player, dynamic. And he got hurt after week two, I believe. He played 2 weeks, and he was out. Well, now they have Keegan Patterson is in there, a little bigger guy, 6'2", 6'3", physical, bigger, but not nearly as dynamic, can't run nearly as well. And their offense is kind of bogged down a little bit. So they just don't score much. They put up 7 against NDSU, 14 against South Dakota. They had 27 against Southern Illinois, but they gave up 55. So it's like, 20 against Montana, but they gave up 63. So it's like, when Owens went down, that hurt. So we're going to see Keegan Patterson this weekend. He's about, a little over 55, 60%, 465 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Not big numbers, and their receivers are pretty good. Rashad Rochelle, number 8, he's a good player. When you watch him on tape, he can move, he can make guys miss, but they remind me of a slightly better version of Northern Iowa, maybe. I mean, just not a whole lot happening. They're trying, but not a whole lot's producing at the time. So, our defense just has to be dialed in again, fundamentally sound, to shut this down. The offensive line is decent, not great. That just a solid unit, but not great. And, as far as their offense, they're averaging 21 a game on the year, but the first two games of the year were against McKendree, who was D2, I believe.
Ooh, they're good.
Yeah. Then Eastern Illinois. Yeah. Well, they put up 79 points in those two games, so it's kind of skewing their average a little bit. But yeah, this is a game. This is a game where UND just needs to slowly, methodically control the game again. Maybe Portland State style, where we get out and just hammer them right away and get up. I don't know. But you just need to take over. You can't let them hang around, because then you just don't, because doubt might jump in. You just don't know. Don't let them hang around. They shouldn't be in the game.
If it does get a little out of hand, don't leave at halftime. Give the third quarter some time.
Right.
I know that was a concern last week. 28-7, that's a tough game to leave at halftime.
I know. That's kind of odd.
Stay in your seats.
Small crowd at halftime. But, Indiana State's, defense, once again, just...
We're going to run the ball again. It's going to be a lot like last week, right?
Yeah, they give up 247 yards a game on the ground. So now,
we're a pretty good running team?
Yeah.
Have you heard that?
Yeah. We're doing all right in that department. The offensive line look good. Here, speaking of which, I didn't get to this in the game review. Did you notice first quarter, and I'm talking the first couple drives, so everyone's fresh, okay? The line of scrimmage was moving downfield about 3 yards every run play, and it was a wall. There was no leakage, and it was a wall of white moving down the field about 3 yards, and then it was a gain of 5 or 6 because the back would slip through there. But it was just, I'm like, whoa, okay.
They took things into their hands.
I said to myself, we're in business here, okay, because we're just moving the whole line.
Sawyer, I like him because that's the first thing he said when I saw his post-game interview was the O-line. Mm. They were amazing today.
Yeah, Beecher the player of the week?
Player of the week.
Yeah, offensive lineman of the week. Good congrats to him. That's a good honor. In this league, in the Missouri Valley, that's a hell of an honor because they're very good O-linemen. But, Indiana State give up a lot of rushing. That doesn't mean we can't throw, though. You don't just say, all right, hey, they're giving up 247. We're going to run it 58 times. Well, no. You're going to hopefully hit some big ones, and you're going to run it, sure. But the RPOs are going to be there, the downfield stuff. He said, what do we do? 8 shots a game. That's the goal. So they're still going to go downfield. We're in a controlled environment weather. Like last week, it was windy. So I think that kind of limited Jerry's throws. He only threw 15 times last week. So this week, I could see him, throwing still 25 times, but the runs you got to make the runs effective. When you run, let's make sure they're all positive. First down is the key. And like they hit on it on the broadcast. First down for UND is as big, as third down because of the way their ball control offense. Second and 7, second and 6 is huge. Second and 10, now your playbook gets a little small, a little tougher for Isaac Frickte. So, yeah, it'll be good. Good test for UND, just to see, you know, how do I phrase it? Sound. How well are they playing?
Yep.
Is it going to be a sound football game again? Not necessarily. I don't even care about the opponent. Are we coming in and out of the huddle? Like, Jerry is no, you know, we don't turn the ball over. Notice that? Knock on wood, we don't turn it over.
No.
We don't fumble, and we don't throw interceptions. I think we're plus 6 this year in turnover margin, which is, when I looked, we should be in about the top 12, top 15 in the country in turnover margin. And we just don't, you know, turn it over. We don't, and that's why we're winning games. So why we look like a solid, sound football team, because we're not hurting ourselves and we're not giving the other team opportunity.
If we do this week, you know who we're going to blame.
Yeah.
You just went down this road.
We never fumble. Now we fumble. Guys fumbling all over.
Just fumble-itis big time. Yeah. No one's but, be like Varsity Blues when they're playing hungover, right? I mean, that would suck. Gal, we have to do the pick segment now, don't we?
Yeah. I think we're at that point. There's not much more to say.
I do want to say, get out to the game, right? This would be an easy game to take off. The schedule has been fantastic for us if you're like a week on, week off for home games.
Yeah.
Those 2-3 in a row can be tough sometimes to get to, but I don't think this is hard for our fans to get to. I will flat out admit I will not be there on Saturday. I got to play dad. I have to go to our first hockey game of the year. It's a road game, so I will not be there. I would love to. I'm going to take a weekend of hockey off for November 8th to get up there and hopefully spend some time with my other daughter. But, yeah, get out and support this team. These guys are
well, the ticket sales.
It's like, $12. Yeah. The locker room is as solid as it gets right now. These guys are one unit, and that can be scary when you got a locker room all on the same page.
Well, it's entertaining football, too. So, Isaac Frickte runs a good offense. He runs a fun offense. You know, it's rooted in fundamentals, but they do some fun stuff and catch your attention. And I think everyone who has gone out to the Alaris Center this year has said, you know,
it's a good product.
Good product. It was fun. We had fun.
We won't have any post game because Kelly sucks. No,
I got obligations.
No, you got family stuff too,
right? I'm going to squeeze in the football game to get to the family.
Especially
stuff
when you're dealing with in-laws, right? Yeah, that side of the family, you can't screw with that. Right. So we'll have some good stuff next week. But I'm going to go big. I actually think it'll be bigger than this, but I'm going to go 53-7 UND.
Take every time you.
Who did you say, Montana? Put 60 on them, so we can run with that.
Your prediction's killing. But actually, they've been pretty accurate.
But I'm not far off.
I know. See, I'm more conservative than you, so I laugh. But then, you've been a lot closer than I have.
Really. I'm picking these based off of what you're telling me during the week, and
then
what
I
did
come
Coach
in
Berg say? There's not going to be a letdown in this team this week. So I'm thinking, okay, here we go.
Okay, I'm going to go. A little less than that, but I'm blowout too. I think UND covers. UND, I believe, is 6-1 against the spread this year. Okay, they're a covering machine. And the only game they didn't cover was Portland State because they put some monstrous 35-point spread on it, and they won by 30. So really, I mean, in a real world, they're pretty close. You know, it should have been 25-30. But I'm going to say this spread will be about 30. Again, is what I'm thinking it'll come out at. I'm going to go close to yours, Tank, but I'm going to go 47-10. UND, just good. You know, another good, solid, all-around effort. I think they'll get some things they can look at when it's done again and move on. Get the biggest key is they're 5-2. Get to 6-2. Because this year we got SDSU and NDSU still coming up. And we got to get to 8 wins. 8 wins with this conference and this resume could get you in that seed range, a 7-8 seed range, which is a bye. A bye would be huge at that time of the year.
Especially 53-7 would be good, right? Yeah. Well, I want to see it. I want to see you guys out there. Like you said, you'll have fun. There are some $12 tickets out there. Go online. Go to fightinghawks.com. Go under football. You'll find ticket information. Bring the family. You know, if it's a little tough in your household, this would be a good week. Get in on that cheaper ticket and go support the boys, because there's a lot to be excited about. And we can't wait to talk about more UND football next week. Thanks for joining us.